Welcome to Champions Battlefield, the show where we talk with champions and discuss their story of overcoming adversity. My name's Trevor Carroll. I'm here with Jamak Alshani, and we're going to be speaking this week with Jared the Rebel Ravel, a former BFL amateur middleweight champion and also a 5-1 professional, who's going to be telling us a little bit more about his background, his story, and how he overcame adversity.
Hey, Jared. What's up?
What's going on?
Not much, man. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you, too. It's nice to be here.
Training hard?
Definitely just actually finished the training session now and drove out in the nice traffic of Vancouver to make it here. So
yeah, I know it's tough. You've got your fight coming up. What is it, in 2 weeks now?
I think it's about 2.5 weeks to be exact. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate you taking the time to come out here and spend a little time with us.
Yeah, not a problem. My
awesome.
Pleasure.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself growing up, where you grew up, what it was like?
Well, I'm definitely from a small town in Carmen, Manitoba. Nice. It's right in the middle of Manitoba. Cold winters, for sure.
Cold, eh?
I grew up with two parents that were both teachers, so I had a pretty good upbringing. I had lots of opportunities given to me by them. They were very supportive. I had an older brother that played lots of sports, so eventually I got into sports. And it really helped having an older brother that was in sports, because it always made me try and push to be as good as them, right? Meanwhile, I'm playing with people my own age. So
how much older is your brother?
He's 3 years older.
3 years older.
Yeah, he's actually, since I can remember, he's always been like 6'3", 260 pounds. Like, since I can ever remember, he just
big
beat
guy.
On me. He used to beat on me growing up. So, you know, I always attest that to why, you know, like, I can take a little bit of a beating, right? Because
he kind of
made me tough, right? So I had no other choice.
Yeah, what were some of the sports that you got into growing up?
The main sport would be hockey.
Okay.
Growing up in Canada, right? Hockey's that main staple. Our town is about 3,500 people, but we had lots of success with our hockey.
What position do you play?
I played center growing up, I did end up playing, you know, defense, wherever kind of their holes were filled, right? But I played center most of my life.
Nice.
And, you know, had lots of success in that. I played basketball, soccer, badminton, you know, whatever was available.
Whatever
to me
came
at that
up,
point,
you just did
you know,
it.
I always played. I wanted to play. I ended up not going, trying out for, I guess, the different AAA teams and stuff for hockey, because I wanted to be able to still play my, you know, basketball. I wanted to be able to play all the different sports as well as still party a little bit, right? So,
so what brought you out west?
You know, I think it was an opportunity. My dad offered me kind of to get away from, you know, the scene I was at. You know, maybe it was getting a little bit of trouble at the end of my high school career, right? And my dad kind of offered me a ticket out west to come and try out for a hockey team out here. I always wanted to come out. My goal was to live in California, but this is kind of the next best
thing. Close enough,
right? It was close enough, so I ended up coming out. I tried out for the team. Wasn't as successful in that, but, you know, I stayed out here anyways and thought it would be, you know, a great place for me to kind of start fresh, meet new people and kind of be a different person and get, you know, the life I kind of wanted, right?
Yeah, it sounds like you were leaving a little history behind. What was the story there?
No real over history, but for me, you know, like I definitely, you know, I think any small town, you idle hands, right? There's not as much to do. So, you know, drugs and alcohol is kind of like the everyday kind of thing for us, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe got a little bit carried away with that. And, you know, I think everybody does, right? I'm not going to make it sound like it was overboard at that stage of my life. But I definitely, you know, was getting away from that, maybe starting fresh and starting a, you know, a new life, right?
Yeah. So what was it like when you got out here? It didn't work for the team. What did you start doing?
What I literally started doing is looking for a job. I wanted to just make money, and I started working, you know, every job I could. Sometimes I was having four jobs at a time, right?
And
not playing hockey, I kind of still had the itch, right, because I wasn't doing anything competitive. But, you know, I did some auxiliary firefighting. You know, I was working at a restaurant. I was working at a hotel, and I was working for the city at one point, right? So I had quite a few jobs, you know, at the same time. And then a friend of mine actually said, "Hey, I'm going to this gym out in Chilliwack. It's called Revolution." And he's like, you pretty much get privates. He's like, they just opened. And at that time we were watching The Ultimate Fighter, and Caleb Starnes was on The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yeah,
and he's like, and he's one of the coaches out there. He's like, and the last practice I went to, I got a private from him because nobody shows up, right? Because it was a brand new gym out in Chilliwack. This is about, I guess, 12 years ago. So I was like, I'll go, right? And so I went with them. And I remember, you know, a couple classes we'd go to, and I kind of got that itch, you know, that the whole, like, competitive atmosphere, right? And
yeah.
I never liked to – I've always wanted to be the best at everything I do, no matter what it is, right? If we're sitting here drinking water, you know, I'm going to drink,
I'm gonna drink
better than you, right? So that's just kind of how I am. So I've kind of found another outlet. And I remember one of the first MMA classes I went to, I was like, oh, I'm going to dummy these people. You know, I'm a little bigger and throwing their legs aside. And all of a sudden I'm getting armbar by some, you know, it was Danny DeLasque at the time. And he was smaller than me. And I was like, what is that? You know, he's like, jiu-jitsu, buddy. And that kind of got me hooked, right? So that's how I kind of got introduced to, I guess,
to martial arts
in that aspect, right?
And so you didn't start off with a specific martial art. You walked into an MMA gym. And
it was what I knew was that it was an MMA gym. You know, I think I wanted more like striking, like the kickboxing,
yeah.
I had longer limbs and stuff. And I thought I, you know, could kick hard and stuff like that and hit hard, right? So that's kind of what I envisioned when I went there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, MMA is kind of all of it. And, you know, I wrestled with my brother and, you know, friends growing up. So I knew I could, I kind of had that natural instincts, right? But
yeah.
I didn't know what to expect with the whole jiu-jitsu aspect coming into play.
Now, you told me right before we get started, you were saying that there were some slippery slopes in life that you hit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I definitely...
Is this around the time frame or... Are we,
you know, like, yeah, at that time, like I was living in... I was working in a restaurant, and in the restaurant industry, it's, you know, it's party, and I like to have fun, man. And I guess I like to have the best of both worlds. And, you know, at that time, I was definitely an amateur athlete. Right, I wasn't a professional at that time.
Right.
As an amateur athlete, you know, I always believed I could party hard and still be the best, you know, at what I do, right? It's, you know, I didn't feel like I had to make sacrifices to be the best at that point in my life. So, you know, I'd party all night long and then go compete in a jiu-jitsu tournament the next day and, you know, and I'd win. So for me, I was like
I can do this all day.
Right? I got it. So, you know, it eventually got carried away. Like it just was partying at the beginning. Right. And I think after a while, you know, I use some of the stuff as kind of a medication for sore bodies after training so much. And then that, you know, the weekends turned into weeks and then the weeks turned into months. Right. And then the months turned into like, just like an abyss of darkness for me. Right. And like without getting into too much detail, right? Like I obviously burned my life down. You know, I lost my job. I lost, you know, the place where I was living. I probably lost a lot of, you know, my family and friends' trusts. And it was kind of, you know, broken at that point, right? And I can't say that, you know, because obviously I was doing martial arts at the time. I think I was a purple belt. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't, you know, I'd still went to the world at one point, right? But I wasn't training. I wasn't, I just thought that I could go train once in a while. I could just pull it off, right? And that's when, you know, like I would realize, like, I'd go to these world events and I'd end up getting third or, like, I wasn't the best. And
you weren't performing at your best.
But maybe that was, like, in the back of my head that I was like, oh, well, if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't all messed up, I probably could win, right?
Yeah.
And, but I couldn't stop at that point. And, you know, like, obviously my life had kind of unraveled and I don't like to be told, like, authority or anything like that. I don't like to be told that I can't do something. So, yeah, I just ended up kind of burning everything down and until I had no other option other than, you know, looking for me. It was probably either going to be facing some legal charges, you know, either jail or, you know, I'm going to be sent to an institution, you know, or, you know, the worst case scenario, like death or something like that. So for me, you know, the best of the three was an institution and I ended up going to treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That was about coming up on 6 years ago.
Nice.
And, you know, ever since, it's definitely changed my life. I met a lot of good people, you know, that support. Definitely a different mentality, right? And I was able to, while I was there, able to kind of connect the martial arts with, you know, with how I was going to change my life, right?
Yeah. What would you say is the tipping point? Because I think with a lot of, especially younger, not kids necessarily, but youth and in general, when you get into that downward spiral, we always hear once you've hit rock bottom, there's no way but up, but it just seems like there's further down, right? You just, whether it's addiction or if it's, you know, mentally, you kind of go in that spiral. What was the thing that kind of for you, you said, this is it. I've had it. I got to change something in my life.
Oh, man. Like, I know that there was like a point of like where I felt like I was literally like on the run for, you know, like 3 days. And it was probably the worst time of my life, right? The most emotional. I was so broken. And like I remember saying, like, I used to wake up every day, to be honest. I used to wake up every day. I'd look in the mirror and I'd be like, you know, okay, so today's the day I'm changing, you know, like everything's changing. And like within 2 hours, like it was back. The game was on, right? And
because if it was easy, nobody would ever be in trouble, right?
You know, I just, you know, I had access and the ability to keep doing it. And, you know, I felt like I was smarter than the rest. I was manipulating everybody. I was able to kind of pull the wool over everybody's eyes, like master manipulator. And, you know, everybody, you know, I still had a job at that point for a while, right? And I'm winning tournaments, I'm doing all these things, right? So I, you know, it's a lie to myself, right? And
were you denying it, basically?
Oh, for sure, right? Yeah. Justifying everything. And but clearly, like, my life was, it was the worst time of my life, for sure, right? And, you know, I obviously hurt a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, like, in that moment when I obviously, you know, it was my rock bottom, and I actually had all these people that band together and supported me, realizing that even though I truthfully, like, fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I screwed a lot of stuff up and I hurt a lot of people, but those people were still willing to help me out. It means that obviously, you know, I'd done something right in my life, and that the people were banding together, and it showed me a lot of love. And, you know, and for me, I realized that I had so many people behind me, and that's kind of like the whole idea behind like what I stand for today is, you know, it's like I'm not just doing it for myself. I kind of do it for everybody that supports me, right? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of my, you know, favorite lines that I've been hearing recently is, you know, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000, right? It's that Michelangelo says that, right? And it's all about representing all the people that have invested in me. And there's a lot of people that, you know, to this day, like, even my success that I've had, like, now I own a gym,
right?
You know, next up, I'm, you know, professional athlete, fighting for a title coming up here soon, right? And
mm-hmm.
with all that comes all the people that have invested in me. And, you know, like I don't feel I owe it to them to give my best every day, right? And
right.
I'm able to do that now that I have a lot of that behind me, and I got the people in my corner, right?
Just going back to your early, like, your childhood and stuff, did you have role models growing up, like sports athletes? You said you were into hockey and stuff. Were you
know, I'm always into whoever the greatest in their sport is. Like, I'm obsessed with greatness. Like, when it comes down to it, yeah. I study everybody that's great. I want to study. I want to see what they do, what they're doing differently than the other people. And I'm on their heels, always trying to be that person. If I'm not the best, I'm on their ass trying to be the best, right? That's the way I've always looked at it. And
so did it translate into something when you were having your problems? Like, at that point in your life, did you have role models that could help pull you out of the air?
You know, at that point, like, I was lost, man. I didn't, I'll be honest, like, I thought to myself, like, I was really good with money beforehand. I was saving things up. And I was like, after a while, I was like, what am I saving for? What am I, like, you know, you could die tomorrow, right? Like, what is this all about? Why am I trying to be the best at everything? Why can't I just, like...
You start questioning everything.
Questioning, I just, like, and I became comfortable with, like, just living. Like, I was like, oh, I'm living the moment, right? I'm just partying today, right? It's like, you know, like, who cares what to... But, like, it was the wrong idea. I had no concept of what my life was supposed to be, right? And, like, today I actually have that. And, you know, I want a better life, and I want to be... I actually want to do the things I say, right?
Yeah.
And I have some integrity in myself, and, you know, and I'm grateful for the people around me. So, I need to show that, you know. It's one thing to, at that time, I'd be like, oh, I'm grateful for my family and stuff, right? And I'd say all those things, but I never, like, showed it, right? I think gratitude is something that you do with action, right? And
right.
I didn't have any action following through with any of my statements beforehand, right? And
At this point now, do you have role models now that,
you know, I definitely do, actually. You know what's crazy is, like, growing up, I always, like, not hated on my parents. Like, I didn't look at them as role models, right? Because I was like, they're always telling me I can't do this and can't do that. And, you know, like, my grandparents and my parents are definitely huge role models for me, right? They, you know, have done nothing but give me opportunities. They're great people. They're always helpful. Anybody, like, ever needs help, like, at a drop of a dime, like, my parents would be there for you, right? And that's, like, the type of person, like, I know I am. Right. And I am today. Right. Because like for me, that's just what it's about, is like if I need help, people help me, right? And that's so, you know, I'm not going to be one of those people that just take. I'm not going to be a leech in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be somebody that is reciprocal in all relationships, right? And that's like, for me, that's what I've realized. My parents were both influential in my community. My dad, you know, ended up leaving teaching to go be a principal at an all-native school in Winnipeg. And at that point, he was literally, because they would all be flown in from the reserves, and there was a couple hundred students, and he ended up being like all their father, like their father. Nice. Actually gave a shit. And you know, he would, like, I kind of resented him for a while, because I was like, he spent all this time with those kids, and I was like, what about me? You know, like I got my own struggles, but he gave me like everything I ever needed, right? And he was there to like punish me, right? That's what I look at, like, oh, right, you know, got upset about, but really, like, he gave me all the opportunities in the world. And yet he was also helping.
So he's sort of like a mentor, somebody yeah, that you right? look up to now.
And that's like truthfully what I want to do. Like whether or not I realized, like, sure, I want to be the best, you know, in the martial arts. But I think that's kind of like, you know, your initiation into like mm-hmm. in the whole martial arts world. Right. It's all about a lifelong kind of journey yeah. of different things like dedication, you know, sacrifices. And at the end of the day, it's all about service. Right. And that's right. giving back, like. Now I'm going to race back here after to go teach kids class. And
right.
The fact that I got all these parents coming up to me like, oh, your kid's biggest mentor, you know, that means the world to me, right? Like you can't.
And it's also more responsibility as well.
Now, yeah, right. But like, sure, like I truthfully enjoy like the moment of me fighting and after and everything like that. There's not many feelings like that, right? But it's everlasting when you have somebody that looks up to you and you can be a positive change in somebody else's life, right? Whether it's through fighting or not, right? And I find that the fighting kind of gives me that cred, right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of kids know, oh, he's, you know, he's badass, right? Like, let's listen to him, right? So, you know, that's just kind of where my life has been headed. Yeah. And I kind of had that kaboom a couple years back when I was like, why do I want to be the best? Like, what is it about, you know, like, what do I really want out of my life? And you know, do I want to just be fighting in the UFC? And that's not like, obviously that's a goal of mine. That's a goal of mine to be fighting at the biggest stage and the best people. But at the end, that's not like, I don't want to get there and then be like, oh, what's next? Like, I already know what's next. I'm going to be influential in tons of people's lives, whether, you know, it's me doing this or something else, right?
Couple questions for you.
Yeah.
One, let's take them one at a time. That way
yeah,
we're
get
not,
a little
yeah.
carried away, right?
So when you're, no, that's all good. So when you were talking about kind of climbing back up, getting yep. out of that hole, you mentioned that you found how martial arts could complement that journey
for
out of
sure.
there, right? Were there some specific things that you had learned, whether it was sort of physical survival or discipline or whatever, that you had learned through your past martial arts experience that kind of started to help you, you know, work your way back up?
Well, I think like, the biggest thing I learned is, like, somebody said to me once, they're like, because when I was actually in the treatment center, I ended up teaching people jiu-jitsu. So it was pretty cool how they allowed me to do that. And I wasn't quite grasping the whole concept of how I was supposed to change my life
right.
in that moment, because I was just thinking about it. I was like, I'm not good at this. I don't think I can do all these things. And, you know, I can't get to that point. And they just pointed out, they're like, oh, did you ever think that you'd teach, like, people jiu-jitsu? And I was like, well, no.
Yeah.
Right, they're like, so, like, what did you do first? And I was like, well, I showed up to class, and you know, and I learned from an instructor, right?
Yeah.
So like, okay, so why don't you do that with your life? Like, show up,
right?
Yeah. Start, you know, like learning and progressing and finding ways that you can be, you know, get to those points, right?
Yeah.
And through that, you start gaining knowledge, right? And eventually, what you start doing when you have that knowledge, there's people around you that don't quite, and you're going to start sharing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's how you start kind of giving back, and you start learning more yourself when you're able to like when you see somebody else struggling with something, and you can show them the way.
Right,
you kind of reinforce for yourself that it does work.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and then bam, right there, that's like
it has a positive
impact.
Yeah,
it does,
on your
and
own.
Then it has a positive impact to my own life. Even though I just helped them out, and they're like, oh yeah, thank you so much, right? But it really helped me a lot more, and so I was able to kind of use my martial arts to kind of. Help my life out and kind of understand my life better, because I couldn't articulate the martial art part. I didn't articulate like how I got to that point,
right.
Somebody just kind of showed me that the ability to articulate it, and that changed, you know, my viewpoint on life and martial arts, kind of bringing it together and how it could really affect me in a positive way.
Yeah, the other thing that along the same lines is a lot of fans, or not fans, people who are not fans of martial arts, MMA specifically, when I talk to them, they always talk about, oh, you guys, you know, you people get in there and beat the crap out of each other, and how is that healthy? How is that good for anybody? And they don't, they fail to see the level of dedication and discipline that it takes for an athlete, for a human being to be able to get into the stage, to get into there, close the door behind them and face another human being and go through that battle, right? And when you were just talking about kids and how these kids look up to you, these are the parents that are talking to you. These are parents that are already sold on the concept that martial arts is good for their kids, right? With the experience that you have and that you've gone through yourself, and you also see other children go through on a regular basis, what would you say to a parent, to someone who says, oh, martial arts is rough and it's just for people, for thugs, and they, you know?
Well, at the end of the day, like, I look at martial arts, you know, I think we're all artists, right? And, you know, in each one of our things, just like a painter paints and a singer sings, right? And it's all that form of expression, right? And I'm able to express myself, you know, in martial arts, right? And, you know, some people are rougher than others, but that's the natural of humanity, right?
Like,
you know, some people are more graceful and able to, like, when you watch certain people, you know, fighting the octagon, like, it's like, it's like so graceful.
That's right.
And some other people, like, they're super aggressive, like, and that's their style, right? And that's how they're expressing themselves. And, you know, I don't think anyone's, you know, to throw a judgment on that, right? Like, kind of needs to stop in that aspect. Everybody has their own opinion, and then go from there. But I believe, you know, like, whether it's jiu-jitsu or martial arts, I believe if everybody did it, you know, the world would be a better place, right?
Because
it's very humbling to go in to a situation. Like, let's just take jiu-jitsu, for example. So you and I, we shake hands, we're about to roll.
I'd never roll with you when I'm scared.
But, you know, at that point, like, you're going to learn so many things. And, you know, I personally have to control myself. Yeah, sure, maybe I could just destroy you and go in there, but that's like a raging ego where I have to check that and realize the same point, like, I can make it an experience for you as for me, and it becomes like, I just came from MMA sparring. Like, it's a truly intimate thing when you're, you know, punching somebody else and you're going balls to the wall and literally trying to kill someone. And then right after, you're able to be like, amazing round, bro. And, like, you know, it's like true sign of respect. Like, I've seen people playing chess and after they're like, fuck you. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, I think so, I've learned so many positive attributes in my life through martial arts. So
one of the biggest things, I think, is like respect, right? Like, at the beginning, you didn't really have respect for yourself when you were going through that tough
course,
time
man.
With yourself, right?
And or now, for anybody else,
or for
them.
Yeah, it's totally right. Yeah, and now you've found that respect not only for yourself, but for other people, right?
Yeah, I took it for granted before, right? Like, even when I started, I was still young, and I didn't quite grasp the whole concept, right? And it took a big shift in my life for me to kind of eye open up to that, and I realized, like, you know, through that I want to take on myself to, like, to help other people when I see people struggling, to be that kind of that switch for them, right?
It's like, I remember the very first time I had someone bigger than me on top of me. I felt like I was drowning, you know? It's like, oh my God, what the hell? This guy can't move. I can't breathe. And you get into that state of panic, but then you slowly learn that I'm okay. I can handle myself here. And in life, it's the same way, right? You get into these situations, and if you panic, you're going to lose everything, right? But whereas if you kind of gain your composure and say, this is another situation, another challenge, I'm going to handle it. I know how to handle this, right?
Definitely. So I think a huge thing that I've learned is, like, one of the biggest things is, like, teaching self-confidence through self-defense, right? Like, to give somebody the confidence to be themselves and to feel comfortable in their own skin is, like, truly one of the greatest things out there, right? And so when I see that in students, you know, at our school, sure, there's competitive athletes and stuff like that, and you're going to train those people a little differently, but not everybody that does martial arts is competitive, right?
That's right, yeah.
A lot of people, there's so many different facets, whether it's just to get in shape, build some confidence, to learn something cool, to have fun, and, you know, and meet a group of people, right?
The community,
there's definitely a community, a brotherhood, And it's amazing to see, right? It's kind of like that everybody knows your name, you know, the cheers thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Comes and it's a great place to be, right? And a bunch of like-minded people that want to advance themselves and to better themselves, right? So, you know, I think everybody should be involved in some form,
absolutely,
you know, form of martial arts. And that's just my opinion. I wish I would have started when I was younger. I didn't start till I was 21, but that's, you know, I was fortunate to play sports and stuff, but this is really geared towards the whole betterment of thyself, right?
Mm-hmm. When you, how many kids do you teach now?
We've got about 150 kids, wow, at our gym, right? So, you know, it's pretty wild, and you know,
all ages.
Yeah, all ages. We start at 3, so we have a, like
3-year-olds.
Like, man, like I'm going back at 3:30, and it's our first, awesome, class is 3 to 5, and it's like now we got like 20 kids in that class. Like probably got like 40 like that are signed up in that specific class, but 20 show up on a regular basis, yeah, right? Like on the days. And like it's unique experience, right? And then we have, you know, a class right after that, 6 to 8-year-olds. Then we go from 9 to 13, right? And it's really cool thing to see the shift in some kids. I remember like we got this one kid and we actually used him in one of our videos. Is like he came to us and I remember he like looked at me like I was so stupid. Mm-hmm. Like he just a blank stare. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't like move.
Yeah.
For so long, and like just to put that energy in. And now he's like one of our ideal students, and he's like, his dad's like so over the moon. Like he'll say everything great, but like he's the guy that you want to, you know, get on video to talk with, yeah, like to talk about our gym, because like it's
the kid's grades, like, went
it's
up
changed
and
his yeah whole life, like,
yeah,
like it's gone for everything about him. Like he was looked so miserable about a, like about everything, and like wouldn't even like respond to you. I'd be like, can you hear me, waving at him, right? Like, so just to see those changes means it's working. It reinforces, awesome, the fact that like what we do is positive and it's creating a better community, if not a whole world.
Right, and so it doesn't mean that kid has to grow up and become a fighter, right?
No,
so
not
he
at
can
all
go become an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever his thing is.
Yeah,
right?
That's the farthest thing from what we teach on a regular basis. Yeah, we do have classes geared towards, you know,
competitive
professional fighting,
right,
stuff like that. Right, that's a small clip, but it's obviously something I enjoy, but I think it's the purest form of, you know, competition. I'm a hardcore competitor, like I told you about the water earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's the, like one of the purest forms, right? And
yeah,
I had to test myself the most, so I enjoy doing that. I don't tell everybody they have to do it. If they want to do it, I'll support them. But I'm not gonna to force anybody to do it. I'm not gonna tell them they should do it.
Yeah,
I definitely like people to like something like jiu-jitsu. I think they should definitely like give it a try, right? It just the whole competition aspect, putting yourself in a situation where, you know, you got to test yourself. I think that's, you know, key in life. I think it teaches you lots of valuable life lessons, right?
Yeah, one of the things I hear a lot lately is how kids that are, because of the way our society is now, a lot of kids are, you know, privileged. They don't have to work hard for anything. They're kind of fed and everything is provided for them, you know, electronics, computers, screens, everything's there, right? So as they grow up, because of the fact that they've never faced any real sort of adversity, they kind of get themselves into trouble in that, whether they're trying to find something to excite them and they're doing crazy things, or they just can't seem to, because life has challenges, right? You don't, no adult goes through their life and says, I'm not going to have any challenges.
Unless you live your life so like boring and so cautious.
Right? It's like you walk through the street and there's things that come at you, right?
Yeah.
So do you see that the kids that, because martial arts is not easy, you know, you put yourself through that adversity sort of voluntarily, right? You allow somebody to crawl up on top of you and feel that pain. Do you see that the kids that come through, or even young adults, you know, teenagers, early 20s that come through the gym and maybe have an ego on them, chip on the shoulder that, you know, I can do anything, and I can, and then once they've had to tap out a few times and feel humble.
It can be a very humbling experience for sure. Not everybody takes losing the same way. Everybody's different. So I think it's a case by case basis. And, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, sometimes you read the play wrong and then you might, you know, somebody might be distasteful towards the sport or something like that because, you know, just the way they handle failure, right? And I think failure is, you know, so important in life. You know, I think, you know, for myself, I used to be very cautious. I used to always want to win. I used to, you know, everything I did, right? And, you know, I think one thing we kind of talk about is, like, you know, your first major loss, right? Yeah. And, you know, I remember, like, my first loss in jiu-jitsu matches, it wasn't until, like, I had, you know, quite a few, right? And, you know, I was just devastated, right? But, you know, I was able to kind of get over it because, you know, I've had competed so many times. And I think as in my amateur fighting career, you know, I was – even in hockey growing up, like I was definitely always on the winning side of everything. I've always been very fortunate in that aspect. You know, I've lost. I'm not telling you I haven't lost. And in my amateur career, I think I had, you know, five fights, and, you know, I just hadn't tasted defeat, and, you know, feeling pretty invincible. And then, like, the worst thing possible happened.
Oh, you know, man, I don't know if we're thinking about the same thing, but that was Trevor probably remembers too. It was one of the scariest moments in me. I've watched probably more than 300, like, 400 fights.
Check this, and so, my mom, like, she's not a big, like, she loves jiu-jitsu, right? And, you know, because she knows that my pretty face can't get messed up, right? So she loves jiu-jitsu and supports me in that, but. The one thing, like, she supports me in whatever I do, right? Yeah. But if she could have her way, like, she wouldn't want me fighting MMA.
Yeah.
And so I think it was actually my sixth. I think I had my seventh fight maybe as an amateur. Sorry, I'd won six, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, just watch. Like, come on, watch me.
It's a rematch, too, because you beat him before.
It's a rematch. I was like, I already beat this guy, Mom.
So she's,
like,
there live?
No, she's live in Manitoba. Yeah, so she's watching. They got the pay-per-view, right? Yeah. And her and my dad hadn't watched a fight of mine yet. And so they're like, that's their first fight. And I remember, man, like, I remember waking up, actually.
Wait.
Just let everybody know.
No, wait. Yeah. So people, Trevor, can we hear your version of what happened? Because, I mean, I was sitting.
I'll tell it straight up what happened. So so obviously I started out, I thought that there was like a one in 10 chance that I could be beaten as, you know, kind of the perfect punch. And Buddy landed the perfect punch. You know, he came with this wild, like, lead push kick. And I backed up, expecting the overhand right, which he normally throws. And he just made that right space for the uppercut. Oof. And just caught me right in the button, and I just went down like a bag of bricks and didn't, I guess, wake up for a while,
I guess. Yeah.
Everybody sounds a little different.
People, like, it was scary.
Some of my people are like, we thought you were dead. And you're like, and I'm like, obviously, like, it wasn't scary for me because I was out.
You were out.
But I guess, you know, I guess I kind of came to in the ring. I don't remember that at all. What I do remember is coming to on a stool, and I was like, why the hell is there an oxygen tank? And I was like, and then I'm like, why are there paramedics? And I'm like, and I look up and I see my like some of my aunt, like my cousins and my aunts down there. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Worried look
and
on
all
their
of
face.
A sudden it just, like, I had so much emotion, and, like, yeah, I cried like a baby. I was like, like at that moment I was like, I lost my fight. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, that was like, what the hell? Like, you know what I mean? And I remember being like, obviously, I think I was a little bit rude. I was like, I want to shower, just get, like, they're like, no, you need to sit out. I was like, and I remember, so they took me to hospital. I remember, I guess I was just talking gibberish the whole way. My buddy gets in the, like, one of my longtime training partners gets in the ambulance with me, and he said I was just talking like shit. Like, I was just, like, you know, rude, and I was just, like, you know, like, obnoxious. And all of a sudden he said, I just asked, I was like, give me your phone. And he's like, who are you going to call at this moment? I was like, just give me your phone.
Yeah.
It's like, dial this number. And I told him to dial my mom. And I remember it was like, obviously I'd done this a few times where you mess out of your tree and all of a sudden you talk to your mom. You're like, oh, hey, Mom, how's it going? And he's like, you know, acted totally normal, right? He's like, it sounded so weird. It's like, yeah, like, oh, no, it's all part of the show, Mom. It's like, you know, it's like, all part of the show. I'm totally fine, right? I'm just going to go get checked up. You know, things are all good. She's just like, you know, like, terrified, right? And, you know, obviously, I was in a lot of, losing. Like, let's get back to the whole idea. It's like, that was, you know.
But so from the outside, like, us watching and talking afterwards, we didn't know if you're going to come back. I mean, I don't mean wake up. We didn't know if Jared was going to be back, if it's going to be the same caliber of fighter, if you're going to be timid, you know, towards. And I remember the next fight after that, I don't remember exactly who you fought, but
I remember Micah,
right? Yeah. I remember you literally sat there, and there was this sigh of relief after you had won.
That was probably one of the most emotional moments in the the ring for me, the octagon for me is that right after, you know, like the ref stopped and I just kind of rolled over and I was like, man, I was like, it felt so good. Like I started very timid and you know, it took a few fights. I was still kind of timid.
So what was it, Jared? What was it that, again, like, you know, coming, that's adversity. That's at for a profession. So
for me, like, let's be, I'll be honest. Yeah. Like after that, I went through probably 2 months of like depression, just to be honest. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that I was severely concussed. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I could barely walk up the stairs without, in pain. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to a guy named Dan Boss. He's, it took me a long time to get to see him, but, he's like a witch doctor, man. That guy definitely
fixed
me up. He knew that I wanted to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of things. Like I reached out to people, you know, Hans, he used to be a champ in the amateur, and he had a tough knockout. One of his first losses was a knockout loss. And, you know, so I reached out to him. I'm a good buddy of his, and asked him, you know, kind of what he went through. And I reached out to people kind of before me and talked to a lot of, you know, people I look at like role models, right? And I asked for their opinion. It's not like I went strictly for one person, right? And I asked a group full of people their things, and then I kind of internalized it myself, and I realized that's not going to define me. That one knockout, like, sure, you know, it's an awful loss, and I hate to have it, and I cringe when I even think about it, but that doesn't define me. It's like how I come back that will define me, mm-hmm. right? And I think having, you know, like, let's backwards, like, to the situation where, you know, like, I was at the lowest point of my life, and, you know, I'd hurt somebody really bad, and I was talking to them, you know, at the worst moment of my life, and they said to me, it's like, you know, Jared, you know, as somebody that hurt so bad, like at that moment, I was like, I would never talk to that person if I was in his shoes, right? Like, that's where I looked at it. I was like, I thought there was no possible way. And he said to me, he goes, this will not be the thing that defines you. This will be the thing that makes your life amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that was like the weight of the world lifted off my shoulders, right? And I've used that, you know, to this day. That doesn't mean it's okay to lose. That's not what I'm saying. Like, I'm not okay with losing. Like, I don't want to lose, right?
Right.
But I will come back, you know, 100 times, you know, stronger after, right? Right? And I had to use that and sum up that kind of mentality after a loss. And I had to, you know, I was going to be damned to show people that, you know, that wasn't going to be the one thing that defined me. And I wasn't going to let that, you know, stop me. I wasn't going to let that be, you know, my story, right? And, you know, I want people to, when they remember me, you know, like when I'm gone, like to be like, that guy, like, persevere, that guy.
He got,
you know,
through,
like,
that.
Yeah, he stood up for, you know, what he believed, and he believed that, you know, achieving greatness, you know, still has failures, but he doesn't quit after that, right? And that's a huge part of what I stand for, is not quitting, and not letting something scare me, right?
Yeah. You know, if there's someone watching this or listening to this, and they're at the lowest point of their life, and they feel like, get up every morning saying, this is it, this is the last day, I'm going to turn this around, and they just can't do it. They just, you know, they're trying hard. Maybe they don't have the loving energy and support that you had around you when you were going through it. What would be your advice? How can they break out of that situation?
Well, for me, man, like, I'm always going to be biased. I'm always going to steer people towards martial arts. I think that's, you know, it's a beautiful art. It's something that truly, you know, has been a pillar in my success. You know, I wouldn't say it's the only thing. They, like, you know, like, you could say it saved my life in some aspects, but at the end of the day, like, I had to have other things in play. Mm-hmm. Like, I never want to put just like one stilt. Like, I don't want to just use martial arts to be the only thing in my life.
You're not one of those jiu-jitsu saved my life kind
of
guys.
Well, you know, like, like, I'm not. I'm like, it's a huge part of it, man. It's like, it's one of the founding pillars for sure. But a house isn't built on just one pillar. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to have other aspects involved. And, you know, and naturally, my friends have become people in the martial arts. So that's another pillar. But, like, my family and, you know, like, I had other things in my life that had to help hold me, you know, accountable, right? And then just one thing, right? Because I remember, like, you know, if I got injured, all of a sudden, then I'm going to burn my life down again. Because now I can't do the thing.
Can't,
you know,
do that anymore,
can't do the
right?
one thing that saved my life. You know, like, so I had to realize that, you know. And
it can't be one dimensional.
From there. So I would just say that it doesn't matter if you don't come from, you know, a situation where there's lots of loving people around. There are resources out there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what you got. There's resources out there, like, especially in North America, mm-hmm. there are places to go, like, right? In Canada especially, right? Like, right. there's places to reach out. There's people that want to help you that have nothing to do with you.
So get a good group of people.
We have a lot of people around. Like, there's people out there that are always willing to help you, whether you're homeless or not. There's always resources, like, around right now, mm-hmm. people that want to help somebody that's in need. Right. So just open your eyes, I guess, at that point and reach out. Like, that's the biggest thing is be willing to ask for help. And mm-hmm. that's where a lot of people struggle. That's where I struggled. I never wanted to ask people for help because I didn't want people to think less of me. So I had low self-esteem.
The ego. Literally. Did, right?
I did. Like, I, you know, people were like, oh, I was too proud to ask. That's no, that's called false pride. And you have low self-esteem. And that's mm-hmm. what I had. I had low self-esteem. At the end of the day, I wasn't willing to ask somebody for help. And the reason was because I didn't want them to think I needed them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's low self-esteem. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, throw that aside, get some humility and ask somebody for help, you know, because people are willing to help you and you will be able to crawl out of whatever, you know, dark circle. And there's like my story. I don't look at my story as being like this like death-defying thing. Like there's like every time I think about it, there's always a worse story. There's always somebody that comes from more struggle. There's always. Right. There's always somebody that's having a harder time out there in right. the world. Right. So that's what I always hold on to whenever I'm in a bad situation. I realize there's somebody else that's done better than me. Mm-hmm. Right. That somebody else has crawled out of a deep hole. Right. So reach out, find something you love and fucking do it.
Right.
As long as it's healthy.
Awesome. Next chapter of your life. You're obviously looking to get into the UFC. You were trying out for the Ultimate Fighter. Some of that stuff fall apart. Don't want to go into that detail of that stuff. But
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about why that's important to you. Along the same lines of obviously good money, yeah, success,
day,
and all that stuff.
At the end of the day, I just want to compete against the best. I want to challenge myself, you know, to the best of my ability. If I fight the best before that, and I lose. Mm-hmm. Then you know, at least I got to fight the best of my ability and I got to challenge myself. That's really what it's all about. I want to challenge myself against the best, against, you know, see where I stand, you know, push myself to the limit. And that's what I'm looking for. Like UFC is something cool. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's obviously a goal. It's obviously something, you know, because it is the pinnacle, right?
Right.
But for me, I just want to be fighting the best. I want to.
You want to test yourself against the best.
I
want to test
myself,
best.
Right? I want to see right. what I'm made of, man. I want to, like, I crave that. Like whenever I, you know, have a situation, like maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie or something of that nature, right? Like, I always, whenever I have a little bit of doubt on something, like, I just want to hit it head on, right? And that's, you know, kind of how I live my life today. I don't want to have any what ifs or regrets, right? So.
Plus, it gives you a bigger platform, right? If it sounds like you have a message of.
That's the huge idea, right? Like, right. behind it all. At the end of the day, like, I believe I can hang with the best of them and make it exciting and do all those things. And then through the end, like, I'm going to use that as, you know, kind of my voice, right? And be able to share my message on a broader stage,
and inspire, right? Inspire yeah. a lot of people. Lastly, we know you have a fight coming up against Chris Anderson.
Yes,
we
yeah.
kind of mentioned that at the top. He's a champ at welterweight. He's yeah. coming up. To face Jared Ravel. Are you preparing any differently? Whatever you can share. We don't want to really
yeah,
talk
like,
fights.
You know, obviously, for me, like, he thinks it's a great fight for him. I think it's a great fight for me, right? That's what it comes down to.
It's awesome for the fans.
I hope he thinks it's a good fight for, you know, so yeah. he's bringing his best, right? Obviously, I believe I'm going to put it on him. He's not going to be able to handle me. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, he should feel the same way. When it comes down to it, like, we are like meeting at a catch weight, I guess, of 180
yeah.
for the middleweight title, right? So I'm kind of dropping down, and you know, he's fighting at 180, which he's been fighting at. So
yeah.
that's the way I look at it. But I'm excited, man. It's
should
a,
be a
huge
good fight.
Test for me. It's a huge test for me. He's undefeated. You know, as a pro, he's tough as nails, and, you know, I'm super excited. Actually, like, my whole team, we all enjoy watching, you know, like, up, yeah. like, we always enjoy watching the guy fight. So, for me, I always wanted to fight those. I always wish I could make, I think even Trevor will avoid yell. He's like, hey, can you make 170? He's like, because there's nobody in the 185 division. And I was like, I wish I could make 170. I can't quite get all the way down there, right? But. It just seemed like a deep pool at 170,
oh, yeah,
right?
Huge.
But when I realized they're all fighting at 180 for this, like, with the new weight, I was like, I can make that. And, like, it gives me an opportunity to fight a lot of really good guys.
Yeah.
Because
test yourself against a different
yeah,
sort of
right?
group of people.
You know,
yeah,
because, like, I have throw my hats off to a lot of those, like, they're good, right? And yeah. Like, that's who I want to fight. I've, you know, my last couple of fights haven't, you know, always been a bit against the toughest guys, but those are the guys that say yes to a fight with me. So I don't know, like,
you
know,
what else are you gonna do?
I'm trying to get, you know, trying to get top caliber guys, right? It's not always the easiest, right?
Yeah. So awesome, man. We want to thank you again and let you get back to training. Thanks, brother.
Awesome, man.
Take it easy.
Appreciate it, guys. Yep.